Yeah, having my head shoved into the steps of the Ulster Bank in Ranelagh, cold butt of a gun put into the back of your skull. That's a moment where you go, okay, yeah, I think this one's up.
How does a high-flying academic become one of Ireland's most prolific bank robbers?
What I would see as the most important part of this still lies open.
I'm Not Here to Hurt You, a brand new series from the award-winning team behind the Indo Daily.
That November day, that's where it all begins.
Out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Seachtain, an Indo as Gaeilge.
Time I mon iarracht I aon of chacht ar a chur, agus suilgam a machan seo, gur féidir é a chur in uig ceart lena bhaintir féin.
Scíltí, fís, tuairimí.
Tá sé dochreite nach bhéadach ara I gcuirna meáin an cheist sin a eicáil.
Bhí an talam a gináim go raibh orthchar an reachtam. Iadach sé tarann go raibh an orthchar san I lis dúthail agus gimine fnacht gór a chlig sár ducha sin éachar. Ná ní bhín ann dár dárach sin, bhín marav.
Seachtain. Find us on all the usual podcast platforms.
Hello and you're very welcome to the Big Tech Show, again from home, working from home during the pandemic. This week we're talking to Tim Cadogan, who's the Chief Executive of GoFundMe. Tim, you're welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here, Adrian.
Tim, GoFundMe is basically described right now as the world's safety net, and for good reason, because it seems that everywhere I look, there's a GoFundMe campaign happening. Here in Ireland, for example, there's quite a few big campaigns. There's one called Feed the Heroes, which I think has raised about €850,000. You're actually a new CEO in this company. Quite a time to start.
Yeah, no, I started on March the 2nd, had a week of normal, you know, work in the office and meeting people, and then we went to work from home. And as you well know, the pandemic kind of had really already started to kick in Europe in that right at the beginning of March, and then sort of fully hit America in sort of middle of March as you went to work from home, shelter at home. So you know, the whole world has been consumed. From our point of view, it's been unprecedented. You know, the company has worked through many natural and man-made disasters over the decade of its life, hurricanes and bushfires and wildfires and so on. But nothing like this has happened before, because the whole world is affected. And everyone who is giving, and we're seeing an unprecedented level of need, but also an unprecedented level of giving. And sort of what's incredible about that is, you know, that every single one of those donors is affected themselves, and they're, you know, taking time out and they're taking their scarce resource and they're saying, you know, I want to turn around, I want to help somebody else. So it's pretty incredible to see that, and it's humbling, and I think it's a source of hope as well, that in such a crisis so many people are coming together to help. You mentioned Feed the Heroes, €851,000 raised, I think, as of this morning. I mean, incredible what's happening there.
I mean, just to look at some of the Irish stats here, there have been 120,000 COVID-19 related donations on the platform here, it seems. And I think it's something like half of all of the new campaigns here in Ireland are related to the pandemic. I interviewed your predecessor, Rob Solomon, last year, and he told me that the Irish per capita are among the most generous, if not the most generous, in terms of donate. Of course, we lapped that up, you know. I lapped that up.
I believe that is the case, that when you look at per capita from a GoFundMe donation perspective, Ireland tops the league, which is lovely.
My question, I wonder, do you anticipate anytime soon a limit to that generosity? And what I mean by that is not people's intentions, but a lot of people are losing their jobs. People are being told that we might be in for 6, 9, 12 months, maybe even more for austerity. And I'm wondering whether we're going to see that feed through in GoFundMe in terms of campaigns or people's ability to donate as much to campaigns.
Yeah, I mean, we've wondered the same thing. We don't know. I think, the observation is that there seem to be sort of a set of folks who are obviously, losing their jobs, really up against it. There's also a set of folks who are actually working harder than before. There are some businesses and certain businesses that are working even harder. So we don't know what the future is going to hold. I mean, this affects us, our society, in so many ways, in so many unanticipated ways that we don't know. But, you know, we have seen generosity be sustained in incredible adversity. So we hope that it will continue. But we don't know exactly what the future holds.
Mm. Now, you wrote a post recently there on Medium, and I think it was an open letter to the community about what GoFundMe was doing at the moment. You mentioned, for example, that there are some new resources that you're bringing in. I think that was mostly concentrated on advice, was it?
Well, we do it a couple of things. So we've been working on an effort to help small businesses. So traditionally, businesses, you know, probably for obvious reasons, are not the heaviest users of GoFundMe. But as restaurants and other businesses started not being able to run their company in any normal way, and their employees were so affected, we started to see a lot of businesses start GoFundMe campaigns to try and get help, to reach out directly to their community. And so we have struck a number of partnerships with people like Intuit and Yelp and GoDaddy, which is a web hosting company here in the US, and there are some others coming. And the point of that is to make more businesses aware that GoFundMe is an option for them. And the nice thing about GoFundMe is it allows you to connect directly with your community of customers, patrons, supporters, your local community. Now, in nearly all the countries that we operate, I think there are either already or soon to come big government programs that are going to help small businesses. And that obviously is hugely important. But of course, that's a tops-down effort and it takes time. With GoFundMe, you can connect directly. And so in many cases, we've seen very loyal customers start a GoFundMe campaign on behalf of a business they love or the employees of a business they love. So it allows you to have that direct connection. It's pretty easy. You can get the money out pretty quick. And we make sure it's safe. So it's a nice complement to the big government programs. But I do want to stress, the need is so great that multiple solutions are required. When under no scenario do we think that GoFundMe is like the solution for everything here. It's a part of a set of solutions to help people, businesses, organizations, charities navigate this time.
I mean, it's interesting the way you put that, that it's a complement to big government, for example, and it shouldn't be a substitute. There will come a time when this pandemic that we're in at the moment recedes, and then we'll go back, hopefully, to normal conditions. And from what I recall of those times, it seems so long ago now, yeah. The GoFundMe campaigns that I see mostly in Ireland, a lot of them relate to medical costs or mm-hmm. a problem bringing somebody home. And if I was to play devil's advocate for one moment, I wonder what that says about our own society, where maybe more and more we're having to raise money through appeals, direct appeals, not completely unrelated to charity, really, in a sense, rather than being able to depend. For example, medical costs would be a good one, for example. If I need an operation or somebody else I know does, and they put an appeal on GoFundMe instead of being able to rely on society. I wonder, maybe it's not your place to comment directly on this, but what that says about our society.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's as you can tell from my accent, or maybe you can't, I'm a Brit and an American, right? Now, so I straddle two different ways of approaching.
You sound more like a Brit than American, I'll say.
Yeah. You know, so I think that countries vary in the extent to which they have a safety net, right, a social safety net. But I think even in countries that have what some people would say is a much stronger safety net, it doesn't cover everything, right? So we see in the UK or Ireland, we see a lot of medical campaigns, and that's because not everything is covered. So even if your medical care is covered, there's a lot of other associated costs that may not be covered. Maybe you're out of work. Maybe you need to have transportation to the hospital. Maybe you can't cook for yourself anymore. Maybe you can't take care of yourself. Maybe not all of that is covered. So I think that there's, you know, we would all hope to live in countries that take good care of folks' basic needs, but needs extend sometimes beyond those basic needs. And also every single set of circumstances is unique. And something I've been learning in just the month I've been on the job is every single campaign is a little bit or a lot different. And it's often those circumstances that are most important. I think the other thing is it's personal. It is a way to engage with the people that you know that care about you and want to support you. And so that's a compliment to the state or an insurance company or some other large institution providing you a service. This is a way to get help from those that love you, care about you, know about you. And that's, again, it's different, right? It's a compliment. It's not the same thing. So I think, you know, there's a place for all of these to mesh together.
Hmm. Do you have a problem with scammers?
All businesses, or anyone where money flows through a system, you know, there's a chance for people to try and take advantage of that. And so it's something we work extremely hard on. And, you know, the company's just turned about 10 years. So we've seen a lot of campaigns, right? We've seen 120 million donations, about, you know, $9, $10 billion of donation volume. And so we have a team that does a number of different things to make sure that a campaign is legitimate, that ultimately when donations are made, they get to the right person. It's worth spending a minute or two on that because there's a couple of layers to that. So the first thing is when a campaign is created, we're looking for anything that seems out of the ordinary, anything that isn't legitimate. And that's a mixture of automated, so we're scanning for certain words, we're looking for certain patterns, and it's also human review. We have a team that goes and looks and tries to investigate things, make sure that the campaign looks good. And if it doesn't, we can take it down, right? We have a very robust terms of service. It's pretty stringent. If you don't meet those, or rather if you violate those, we can take that down. So we can catch a lot on the front end. And I want to stress the vast majority are absolutely fine, right? And then once a campaign gets donations, we want to make sure that they're getting to the right beneficiary. And often a GoFundMe campaign is set up by one person for the benefit of another person. And there's a very robust process that we run on the back end of that together with our payment processor partners to make sure that the funds reach the right person. Now, there's other things we do to kind of help make this super secure. One is any donor at any time can request a refund, and we'll give them the refund. And that can be as simple as, I made a donation and I goofed and I didn't want to make the donation. Fine. Or it can be like, yeah, I have second thoughts about this campaign, whatever it is. Then the final backstop is in the rare event that we find out there actually really was something wrong with the campaign. And to give you an idea, that's about a tenth of 1% where this happens. We have the GoFundMe guarantee, which I think is the first, and I think still the only, where we guarantee we will pay all the donors back, all the money, even if we didn't manage to get it back from wherever it went. So there's a kind of an ultimate backstop, which fortunately, because of all those sort of technologies and processes that we have in place, is very, very rare.
Have you had to do that much?
Yeah, I mean, it's happened, you know, as I say, about a tenth of 1% where the GoFundMe guarantee is invoked. So it's really, really, really rare.
And the other thing, was there ever any substantial amount of money that you had to pay back that way?
This is prior to my time, but I don't believe there's been any major case. But we can go back and I can check with John kind of if there's a reference point there. But it's very, very rare. Hmm. The other thing to remember is a GoFundMe campaign works when you share. So the way it works is you reach out to the people you know, and hopefully they reach out to the people they know, and that's how you get donations. In the vast majority of cases, let's say you, Adrian, were like, I've broken my leg, and I need some money for, you know, while I'm not able to work normally.
Nobody would give me a penny, I know, my friends, but anyway.
Right, exactly, you might struggle. But let's say you hadn't broken your leg. Mm. Well, your friends were like, well, what's he talking about? He hasn't broken his leg, right? Mm. So we get, you know, on occasion where people put up something that isn't right, the network tell us as well, right? Because, you know, it doesn't work unless you get donations from people you know. And if they know that you're, you know, not to playing it totally straight, people say, well, this isn't right, right? So we also have the community, you know, give us information as to what's going on. And that also plays out on the back end, right? If you give to someone, you say, I'm going to get this to, you know, get a second pair of crutches for my broken leg, and then you don't, you go and get a new bike. It's like, well, you know, right? So there's a social, because this is social fundraising, there's a whole social proof system on top of and around all the stuff that we do.
I guess there are always going to be scammers in no matter what business you launch. What about politics? I mean, there were a few interesting cases a couple of years ago. Obviously, the famous one that most people heard of was the campaign to build a wall in the US. I don't know how much that actually ended up gathering in the end, but it would seem that somewhere along the line sometimes it might get tricky with regard to political campaigns, because political campaigns can be controversial. And I know GoFundMe has taken a strong position, for example, on topics such as vaccinations, anti-vaxxing campaigns, for example. Is that a difficult one to tread? Are there other topics?
I will want to double check this, but I'm pretty sure our current policies, we don't allow campaigns for political campaigns.
Right. Okay.
Political candidates. Right. So we've just sort of said we're not going to participate in that area. So that's the way we're navigating that for now.
Yeah, because I would imagine I'm used to dealing with Facebook and Google and all these big companies, and they have a really tough time drawing the line. And I have some sympathy for them because, the calls that they have to make are sometimes difficult. And I would imagine that there's a small amount of that sometimes can seep into a GoFundMe. But from the sounds of it...
Yeah, that's the main way we've sort of chosen to deal with that for now. But yeah, I mean, there are definitely judgment calls in some of these campaigns. And, you know, the team has had a lot of experience now. I mean, I don't want to say that we've seen everything, but, you know, with so many campaigns and so many donations, there's some pretty clear patterns.
Just for one second, you said you're a Brit, although I can hear some Americanisms creeping into your accent there.
Yeah,
sort of rounding off the T's into a D sometimes.
I'm sorry.
Slipped. Don't apologize. we're all guilty of this. I've said many times in this podcast, sometimes I can hear it even now, sometimes my own accent will veer into a kind of a cringy mid-Atlantic pseudo-American accent sometimes. You know, in the very worst of times, kind of almost Casey Kasem. So it kind of happens to all of us. And I know there's a comprehension thing as well, particularly in the States, when you have to sort of slow down a little bit. Well, as an Irish person, I do. Definitely. I can speak at full pace now with you and be confident that you'll understand me. But as a Brit, you've been in the States for a while, right?
I've been here for 24 years now.
Yeah.
It's almost a wonder my accent hasn't slipped more, but you know.
Yeah. And you led OpenX, didn't you? You built OpenX.
Yeah, I worked on a company in a very different space, advertising technology, OpenX, which I started. And we built that up over the last 10 years or so. And before that, I was worked on search and consumer stuff at Yahoo. So GoFundMe was a wonderful opportunity to get back more to the consumer side of things, but also with this very strong social purpose, which really, really resonated with me. And I spent a bunch of time as a search and rescue volunteer, so I'd done a lot of kind of like hands-on charity. Well, I guess that's charity in a very specific way. So it was really, it's been great to be here and be able to do something useful, right, in the middle of this crisis and help in our own way to enable and mobilize generosity. So
what kind of search and rescue was it?
Oh, mountain search and rescue. Out there in the mountains, just, you know, we have a big ring of mountains around L.A., that go up to about 3,000 meters, which some people don't know. So they're pretty steep, and people get lost and they hurt themselves, and they get heat, knocked out by the heat in the summer and knocked out by the snow in the winter. So we go up.
Are they hiking up there?
Hiking, yeah, mainly hiking, yeah.
And so how do you get up to, how did you get up to them?
We either drive and hike, or sometimes get choppered in and lowered down.
Wow. That sounds all right, actually.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's,
So
abseiling out of a flying helicopter is quite exciting, I can tell you.
Yeah, do you have a box of milk tray as well? No?
Nope.
And so in joining GoFundMe, I mean, obviously, it's a global brand now. A lot of people know this company. For you, is there an element? I mean, you've used the phrase helping people, maybe giving back. Yeah. Is there an element of that in it for you?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, so that's what it's all about. Like the whole company is down to the DNA is how do we help connect people who have a need and people who want to help. That's our job, right? And how do we do that as easily and as safely and as quickly as possible? And I know I've mentioned it a couple of times, but I think and this point of it being a direct grassroots connection. So you can organize for a family you know that has a particular need, and you can reach out to your friends and family, and it's a very personal thing. And it's not, I think it's not just the money, it's the support, right? The money comes with support, and that means a lot to people. And so I think that's the root of it. And it is powerful. And our job is to, you know, make that as effective and as, you know, broadly adopted as we can.
And yet, but this is a for-profit company.
It is, yes, yes, yeah. Absolutely, and it's, but I don't think there's a tension here because that's the purpose of the company, right? And the way we make money is we ask people to tip us, right? If you're happy with the service and you want to support us, then give us a tip. You know, we make it free for a campaign organizer, the person with the need to set a campaign. The only thing that comes out is the transaction processing fee, you know, kind of your standard credit card stuff. And if the donor likes the service and wants to support what we're doing, you give us a tip. So it's really, I think, well aligned with the underlying purpose. And I think, we'd do a good job, but we think we can always do a better job, right? So we're working out, you know, what else can we do, particularly like a time like this? You know, what else can we do? That's why I gave you the example of small businesses and getting creative with partners there as one example.
What is your biggest driver or your biggest growth driver? I mean, is it Facebook viral campaigns? Is it social media?
I mean, it's really people coming and setting up campaigns and then sharing those. And it's not limited. I mean, Facebook is obviously one place that a lot of people do use and a lot of people share. But it's in no way, you know, limited that. You can share in any of your social media environments. You can also take the link of your campaign and put it in email. We started to see, you know, even people put up posters, right, where you can have a poster and you can go and donate. You can use WhatsApp. The key is helping people understand how to articulate their need. Like, hey, I have this need. This is my story. This is what's going on. This is what I will do if I receive this money. Setting that out, sharing that as broadly as possible, and then encouraging other people to share, and then obviously having folks come in and donate. So we talk about three actions, right? Create a campaign, donate to a campaign, share a campaign. And the share piece is really important. I want to mention that because even if someone comes to a campaign and says, you know, let's say they go to the Robbie Keane campaign, right? I know that's kind of got some attention. And you're like, I don't have any spare money right now. But you can still do something. You can share it. And by sharing it, you then expose that campaign to your network of friends. And some of them probably can donate. So just that simple act of sharing actually creates the opportunity for more people to donate to that campaign. So three things: create, donate, share.
One of the things we were discussing on last week's podcast was the idea of a pivot maybe in how online companies, tech companies maybe, but companies that predominantly work online are perceived. And I was positing the view to my interviewees, they didn't fully agree, but I was positing the view that maybe our perception of the value and the motivation of companies that predominantly work online has improved in the public mind because we're using their services more as utilities. Maybe we're not quite as cynical as their motivations. Now, there still is room for skepticism there. At a broader level, what do you think of that idea? Do you think it applies to GoFundMe at all?
Well, I think you're onto something, right? I mean, if you think about how important to our lives digital has become, it was already important, but now it's sort of mission critical to so many people for so many different things. I think that the general observation makes sense to me. For GoFundMe, you know, we certainly see that right now we are a more important part of more people's lives than we were before, because we're a way for them to get that help and give that help. And I'd say the other thing that I didn't mention, I've talked a lot about the importance of getting support, but I think it's also really important to people to be able to do something right now. And, you know, you're closeted at home, it's if you let it get to you, it's scary what's going on. The ability to go and give to something and feel good about that you did something, that's important too. And so we're one way that you can do that. So I think that is definitely what's happening. And we've kind of, again, you're perceiving all of this through the wider media and social media environment, but it seems that we're kind of playing a more important role in that way.
Well, I mean, it's important only in the sense that even from a GoFundMe perspective, if people have faith in the system or in the ecosystem, perhaps it means that they're more likely to have confidence in a campaign, for example, or
correct,
you know, not lumping everybody into the same basket.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the trust, as for any company or any institution, trust is ultimately the most important thing. So people have to trust that if I put my need out there, that it will be, you know, handled with honor and correctly. And that also that if I donate, that's going to go to the person and it's going to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so that trust is foundational.
And just to wrap up, just remind me again of the overall figures for GoFundMe. I mean, how much at this point has actually gone through GoFundMe?
You mean in total or as a result?
No, in total. In total.
I think, I mean, we're somewhere between $9 and $10 billion of total donations have gone through the platform over the sort of cumulative life. And we've worked through all of the sort of major disasters, obviously this one, but previously, most recent one, Australian bushfires, the Californian wildfires, Hurricane Harvey, the hurricanes in the Bahamas, you know, the man-made disasters like the Las Vegas shooting, like all of these major tragedies, and then all of the individual needs, which some are around, you know, very difficult, tragic circumstances, and some are more positive, you know, raising money for, you know, a school trip or something like that. But an incredible array of needs and a lot of goodness that is through the money, to me, is represents the good, you know, the generosity of people.
Okay, well, listen, thank you very much for coming on the show today, Tim.
That's
You're
Tim. Welcome.
That is Tim Cadogan, the chief executive of GoFundMe, recently appointed chief executive of GoFundMe. And that's all we have time for this week, folks. So for me, Adrian Weckler, still in lockdown on a beautiful sunny day. Hope you're all doing well, and we'll talk to you the same time next week. Bye-bye.